Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you one and all for being here and spending a little bit of your time wherever you are, whenever you are, with us. And that makes it all make sense, because otherwise I'm sitting here by myself doing this, and that's weird. So my guest tonight is Reverend Corby Mitlide, who is an old friend. She used to have the show right here on Empower Radio just before mine. And she did live psychic readings and all kinds of other fascinating stuff. But she's gone on to other things, and she's back to tell stories. So we will be with her in just a few minutes. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And there is so much stuff that I could rant about. But I think I'll just talk a little bit about lies and how complicated it has become to figure out what is true. The whole fake news thing. Everybody is pointing fingers at each other and saying it's fake news, which is basically saying you're lying. And sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not, and it's getting really hard to sort out. But I just, not long ago this evening, saw an article about how a trial judge is holding the Aetna insurance company accountable. Everybody talks about Obamacare as if it's health insurance, and it's not health insurance. It was a way to regulate the health insurance companies in the way that they provided health insurance for all of us, for American citizens. And it got rid of the worst abuses, like pre-existing conditions and some other things that made a huge difference. And it got more people into the insurance pool as a way to drive down the insurance premiums. And of course, insurance companies don't like having to cover more people to make their money and don't like premiums going down. So if you listen to the rhetoric on the right, Obamacare has failed, the premiums and costs have gone up, and insurance companies have run away because they couldn't afford to be in the program anymore. Not quite. Not quite in general, but certainly not in this case. Turns out that Aetna was in the process of trying to merge with another company and was holding the government hostage for whether or not they would stay in the Obamacare healthcare pool. And so the government didn't give them what they wanted. They pulled out of Obamacare, and they blamed it on it being a bad business choice for them that they weren't making any money. But that wasn't true. Turned out that they just lost their leverage in this merger thing and couldn't strong arm the government into giving what they want. And so the story goes out that Aetna, like so many other companies, couldn't make money the way it was set up, and it's another failure of Obamacare. We lost another company, and the premiums are going to go in. No, that wasn't it at all. But it doesn't matter, because the lie is out there, and the lie has been out there. And I call these things a trick of the dark. It's the way the darkness works. Lies are, it's stock and trade. And if you can't tell an outright lie, because the truth is too obvious if you take a quick look, you can make it seem like the truth is a lie. And if you have a story that someone else is telling a lie about, you can tell their lie and it works as well or better. And my question is always, you know, which is worse? Somebody who tells a lie because they really believe that what they're saying is accurate. In effect, they believe their lie is true. or somebody who lies on purpose knowing that what they're saying is a lie. And the problem right now is it's really hard to tell. And in many ways, this is one of the major tasks of adulthood and spiritual growth. We're all looking for the truth. We're all looking for how things work. We're all looking for whatever the core of the light and spirituality and truth is and our way of understanding it. And all of this stuff that's being thrown around, all of these lies, are a distraction to keep us from doing that. And that's part of the reason that it's not acceptable. You know, everybody lies in business, blah, 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 blah. No, no. It's not acceptable. It destroys the quality of discourse and the quality of life for everybody involved and many people who are not involved. And anytime you see that, anytime you hear that, it's very important to tell the truth and not allow the lie to stand. And that's a big job at the moment. Things are pretty crazy. But that's my metaphysical musing for the moment. And now let's hang out with my dear friend, Corby Mitlive. How you doing?
Hey there, guy.
Yeah, this is...
years. How the hell are you?
I'm pretty good. So the New Jersey gal and the Brooklyn guy get together again. Look out.
Yep. Yep. They used to shake in their boots when we would do a joint show, especially with the late lamented Allie Cheslick, God rest her soul.
So. Yeah, we've had fun over the years and we miss you around here. It was always fun. It was always fun having your show before mine, partly because of the stories, partly because of the stories I would hear, and partly because we had so many strange electronic things happen because of the spirits you brought in.
Oh, baby. It's like they said, oh, great. Midnight Park is Funhouse. Let's go play.
It was, yeah, we had some pretty wild stuff, and the people who haven't been listening that long have no idea, because it's been pretty stable for a while.
Hmm. So, Bella, what are we
doing? Well, I know you have some new stuff that you're doing, and I want to get there, but what we always do with guests is ask, how did you wind up at this point in your life? What was the walkabout? What was the journey? And I know you've got an amazing story and you've done some incredible things. So start anywhere that feels right. And
okay, well, like the old comedian thing, I started out as a child.
Right. I was born at an early age. Yes.
Yes, I was. When I was 9 years old, back in 1964, there was a book called The Witch Family by Eleanor Estes. And instead of thinking, ooh, that's scary or ha, 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 I thought, and your point is, I knew there was magic in the world. I wanted my share. Fast forward to 1973, when I was a senior in high school, working part-time at Spencer Gifts. Now, in those days, you got to remember, we all had elephant bells and fringe jackets.
Right.
And, of course, you used to have tarot cards. So they had the James Bond 007 tarot deck, and I bought it. True story. Now, you know, a few years later, everybody else was doing rollerblading and disco like in Boogie Nights. Not me. I stuck with the tarot. I loved it. And so for many years, I just read for friends, making sure I would be that clear mirror, that tube, as John Holland says, where the information would come in and not be all trammeled up with my own ego. So in 1994, I could do hands-on healing and talk to dead people with no training. Boom. That's kind of when God, you know, ding-dong on the door. Hello, here's your draft notice. You're working for me. Now, at that point, I hung out my shingle part-time. But I was still doing the roller coaster career that I had, which at various times I've been an actress, an author, an inspirational speaker, a writer for a graphic novel series called ElfQuest, associate editor, executive recruiter, legal assistant, you name it. Always something else to keep the money coming in. But 9/11, I was with my then fiance, now husband, Carl. And we watched the towers burn. And I turned to him and I said, I am going to need to do the other work full time. People need to know there are other answers out there. And he looked at me and said, I've carried this house for years before you moved in. I believe in you can do it. So for a year, I still worked as an executive recruiter, but did this evenings and weekends until I was sure I could make a living at it. 2002 was my last day in a corporate setting, and I've never looked back. So since then, it's been sometimes as many as 45 weekends a year, coast to coast and into Canada, doing expos, doing fairs, doing lectures. I read at home. I met up with the author Robert Schwartz in 2003 and was part of his book series, Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift. It's one of his major mediums, and that's where we dealt with past lives. So all of this time, I was doing for other people. And people would say to me, oh, you're so funny. Your words are so great. You should write a book. And I was going, there are a bajillion books out there. Who thinks that I have anything special to say? Well, it's the old story, write what you know. So in 2016, I picked 12 subjects, and I was going to write on one subject a month on Facebook, do 4 blogs. In June of last year, my buddy Christine Alexandria looked at me and said, do you notice that there's your book? And dang, right. So that became the first book of the self-development project called Clean Out Your Life Closet. What happens after you clean it out, you refill it. So that one's going to be called The Big Reboot. And after you've cleaned it out and refilled it, what are you going to do with it? Final volume will be called Be Your Own Masterpiece. So right now, Clean Out Your Life Closet is out. It's gotten some great reviews. Kirkus Reviews, it's a house that does nothing but reviews. They're known for being stingy with praise, but they loved it. So that was thrilling.
Very cool.
And the thing is, well, there, you know, for every 3 people that love it, somebody comes to me and says, oh, God, I really wish I had time to read it, but I don't. Or someone says, I have visual problems, or I have cognitive problems. I'm not good with books. Do you have it in an audio form? So that's the next project. That's what we're doing now.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Now what are we going to do? We're all caught up.
Well, we're going to talk about anything you like. You grab a subject out of the ozone and make it work. So hit me, baby.
Well, we could go into politics and all kinds of other things, but just in general, there is so much change going on the planet itself. What's your reading and your sense of all that change that's happening right now? The why, the how?
Personally, it's a funny thing. We talk in Robert Schwartz's book is about pre-birth planning, and you always come down doing certain things. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I have known for a long time is I always tend to come down on the losing side because it's my job to help people walk through the dark. I was a German soldier in World War I. They lost. I was a Yorkist in the Wars of the Roses. They lost. Now, does that mean that America's going to go down in flames? Well, I don't know. But what I'm pretty safe in saying is we will never go back to the America that you and I grew up with. That is as dead as a dodo. I don't know how long this dark night of the American soul is going to go on, but whatever comes out of the ashes is going to have to be something very, very different.
Right.
And this is the wake-up call that we all needed. Trump was planned, if you will, by spirit. And the massive division that we see now in America was always there. He just lifted up the rock and let the slugs out into the light of day. It's when you're in America, it's very hard to remember. But the rest of the world is not like this. The rest of the world can make things work. But for now, we have to pass the baton. In the 19th century, what was the big power? Britain. In the 20th century, who was the big power? Us. 21st century, it's going to be somebody else. So your choice is mourn it, whine about it, say it's not fair, try to beat a dead horse, or you can say, whatever is coming down the pike, what are my skills? What do I need to do to take care of me and mine and have enough to share forward? Because we're going to have to take care of each other now. We're not going to be able to depend on institutions to do it. So that's why spirituality is, you know, you and I laugh about we don't want it to be unicorns on surfboards farting rainbows. We don't. But we are going to have to seriously step up if we want to keep the world going at all. Am I making sense here?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the way I've tried to think about it to keep from going stark raving mad, is all the prophecies all over the world have talked about this transition from a period of very, very dark stuff for thousands of years to a period of cooperation and light that we don't even have a way to understand. And in order to make that transition, there's got to be a period of chaos as all of that is going on and as all the forces of that darkness are confronted and start to dismantle. And here we are. And the bigger the chaos, the more it's an indication of how much a change there will be on the other side of it, which is lovely to think about while you're in the middle of it, but doesn't really help.
The old saying, trust in Allah, but tether your camel. Remember that?
Right.
Trust in spirit. Trust that there's a reason for this. But if you feel moved to stock food, do it. If you feel moved to really get to know your neighbors well, do it. One does not cancel out the other.
Right.
You know, I'm doing my spiritual work and I'm writing these books and I'm encouraging people to find their sentence of passion and be out in the world. But whatever that sentence of passion is, it's not your job. It doesn't mean being a great electrical engineer. It may mean being able to pull order out of chaos, whether it is electrical circuitry or an argument among your tribe or whatever. That's why your purpose and your passion should never be tied up with the job. The job is not who you are. It's simply where you're putting your energy at the moment.
Right. Right. And all of that for many people is going to change in strange and unusual ways because everything political and economic is changing at the moment in our country.
Yes.
So it's going to be interesting to see how things sort out in the short term and then how they change in a bigger way in the long term. But yeah, it's crazy. As a friend of mine says, it's a crazy old world. It really is a crazy old world. And it is.
It is.
It is.
For the foreseeable future.
Yeah. What just came to mind, which totally cracked me up when I saw it, and is an indication of how, of something. Let's not even define it. The Trump administration didn't manage to make hotel reservations in time for this G20 summit. Mm-hmm. So there are no luxury hotel accommodations, and he's staying at the courtesy of the German government in one of their, you know, places for visiting dignitaries. He's basically staying sleeping on their couch.
Well, you know, part of it is the fact that people don't want to work for the Trump White House. So when the Obamas came in, I'm just using them because they were the last group in, they had literally like 4,000 positions to fill in the White House, and they got them filled.
Right.
By, you know, shortly after that he was in there. And because he was welcome by the rest of the world, knew the protocols, understood that when in Rome, etc., it was always easily done. It was like clockwork. Now, Trump doesn't trust anybody. Trump doesn't want to work with anybody. Nobody is making efforts for him. Now.
Right. And he didn't fill all those positions.
Right. Universe is a short order cooked with no imagination. Remember that word right the first time. And Trump's idea is nobody gets it right but me. I'm the only winner. So everyone around him is getting it wrong, even on his behalf.
Right.
Okay. Maybe there's a lesson there. Will he learn it? Who knows?
Chaos and disorder abound.
Yep. And that's why, you know, the old think globally, act locally. Really act locally now. Because when the power grids go down, and they will, that's not wiki-woo prediction. That's just look at what's being hacked. You will need to depend on the people around you. You'll need to know how to do things pre-Edison. That's one of the reasons why now get paperbacks, get hardbacks. Don't depend on your Kindle. Because eventually it will work. And right. If you want to look up that great thing on chapter 4 about how to start a fire, you better have the book.
I hear you. I definitely hear you. So do you have a sense of the... and maybe we should start this part of the conversation after the break. There are all kinds of changes that are happening with the energy of the Earth, the energy of the Moon, solar flares and solar winds, all kinds of things, which are having an amazing effect on everybody, but even more so on sensitive people. Do you have a reading on that?
I have to say I don't. I know they're there. But I am, you know, some of us live on the 44th floor of astral projection. I take a look on the first 5 or 10 floors to help the people who don't realize there are elevators.
Gotcha.
So I work with the rookies. I work with people who really don't understand as much. I'd recommend that you get my buddy Stacy Wells on. She hangs out on the 44th floor most of the time, and she will give you. Me, I'm busy showing people, like Doctor Who last week, Nardole. I'm getting them on the elevator to get away from the Cybermen. So.
I love your metaphors. It's so much fun. So we should make sure that people know how to find you online. So what's your website?
Website is simple. It's CorbyMittLive.com. And if you go there, you're going to see information about the Kickstarter we're doing. You're going to see where to download the first chapter of my book and find out about it. And you'll also find out how to have a reading with me, because that's still my main business, is
right.
Being a psychic medium.
Right. And so spell it for people.
C-O-R. B as in boy, I-E, M as in Mary, I, T as in Tom, L-E-I, D as in David, Corby Mittline.
And she is with us live, and we are going to have some more fun. You know how this works. We're going to go to the break shortly, unless we get taller. And you don't remember that? I've been saying that
of
forever.
Of course I do. Now, did you find the cat magnet for me or no?
So we will be back shortly, unless we get taller, with my guest, Corby Mittline. And we're going to have a whole lot more fun. This is David Franklin Farkas on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. So don't go nowhere. We're going to have a whole lot more fun.
The Empower Meditation Channel. Nonstop meditation music 24 hours a day in the new Empower Radio app. Music to empower your meditation, help you relax, sleep, or provide a calm background while you work. The Empower Meditation Channel is interruption-free. Listen now with the Empower Radio app, free in the App Store, or listen online at empower.fm. Soothe your soul, calm your mind. The Empower Meditation Channel.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed. No.
What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library.
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Positive Radio for a better life. Thank you for listening to Empower Radio.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Corby Mittline, my former partner in crime here at Empower Radio, who is now off saving the world. And
ish.
And is telling us how she's doing it. And so do you want to tell us a little bit more about the book?
Sure. I would love to. Thank you so much.
Thought you might.
All right. So the first thing I want to tell people is why this work matters. One of the greatest problems we've got today is the fact that we are taught to believe that someone else knows better than we do. We are told from childhood that we have to look to other people for answers, the doctor, the teacher, the fitness coach, the life coach, the religious figure. Even if our intuition tells us something is true, what do? We Google it to see whether we're right or not. Jeez. So that's why self-help books are a $1 billion industry. You're supposed to think that somebody else, some expert who never met you, doesn't know your life, doesn't know your challenges, will know better than you do how you should live. Wrong. Nobody else has lived your life, developed your interests, walked through your challenges, or pondered your questions. Nobody else is going to know the pattern of your existence or your dreams or your fears. So that's why I wrote Clean Out Your Life Closet. It's a book that believes you have your own answers. It's the core of who you are that lets you unlock who you want to be. And yeah, I share stories of my own roller coaster life with the mistakes and the double backs and the general stupids to see if any of it resonates with you. But the book's incomplete without the input of the reader. That's the cool thing. It's like I said at the beginning of the program, it's made of four parts: clarity, adaptability, simplicity, and making stress a friend. But the difference is each chapter has what I call adventure pages. That's where I ask some open-ended questions to help you take what you read in the last chapter and form it so that it really works with your life. You know, and so by the time you've read the book and you filled those out, that book is good for you. It's not good for your Aunt Mabel, and it's not good for your buddy Bruce. It's your book. We write it together. And I teach people in there how to think like a Martian, which is one of my favorite things. If you and I were together and there was water coming out of your eyes, I might look at you and say, why are you crying? I could be wrong. A Martian would look at you and go, David, why is there water coming from your eyes? And the Martian would be more likely to get the real answer because maybe your contact lenses are bugging you, or maybe you have allergies, or maybe there's an emotional basis. Because the Martian just looks at it and is willing to take any answer as long as it's true. The Martian has lots more possibilities. See that? So that's, and you know, the book is not written like do what I do. I tell lots of stories and I am fun. I can't help it. I'm funny. So it's not a matter of, oh my God, she's a size 2 blonde from Atlanta with a trust fund. She must know everything. No, I'm 60 years old, look like a brunette fire plug and live in a tiny little house in the middle of a hayfield in upstate New York. So trust me, I've been where you've been. That's why I wrote the book. Besides, I got really tired of people saying, oh, well, you're so funny. You know so much. You should write a book. Fine, I wrote a book. See? Now I have two others to write.
There you go. There's always more.
There's always more. And as far as the audiobook goes, theater major at Brown, did voiceovers for years. You know, it's one thing if, you know, like Diana Gabaldon, you wrote Outlander. And you're writing fiction, and the people in the book aren't really you. But with me, the stuff is in the book is literally my sitting down and talking with you about my life and things I think and things that could help you. Why would I want somebody else to read that? I want to read that. So that's why we're working with a local studio. A guy's name is Pat Tessitore, Cathedral Studios in Rensselaer, New York. Fabulous, fabulous guy. Been in the business since Moses was in diapers. And he also believes in the book, what we're talking about. So he is doing some really fabulous work to make me sound like such a genius. God bless him. But, you know, audiobooks are expensive. That's why we're doing a Kickstarter. So, boy, I had no idea what I was taking on when I started doing a Kickstarter. But yeah, I still love it. Oh, baby. So, I don't know. Do you think your people are familiar with Kickstarters, or do they need a little detail?
I think most of them are, but why don't you give them a couple of sentences so they have an idea? It's one of those.
Crowdfunding.
What's that?
It's one of those crowdfunding sites.
Crowdfunding. That's the word.
That's the word. So now there are a lot of them. There's Patreon, which is where you give so much a month and you help artists art. There's Indiegogo, which If you only make part of your money, you get part of your money. But I went with Kickstarter because I was told to go with Kickstarter. And they're all or nothing. So we've got $6,500. And people want to know, do you really have to spend that much on the... Well, I'll be honest with you. Kickstarter takes 5%. Doing the charges that people will, you know, they charge their backers, that's 5%. And Uncle Sugar wants their cut. So that's one of the reasons that you have to charge a little more than you need.
Right.
But if you go there on our campaign page, you're going to see a little 3-minute video. It's one of the things they talk about. You must have a video. People won't get it if there's no video. But I did not want to sit there and be a 3-minute talking head. Nah. Like I said, not a cute size tube blonde from Atlanta. So what we did is we put together still shots in a movie. And all you get to do is hear my voice, because I want people to fall in love with that voice. And there's also a snippet about a 3-minute from, I believe it's the chapter Getting Clear on Your Purpose, like we just talked about.
Right.
So you'll see what the book is going to be like. And, you know, backing, people are saying, well, I don't have money right now, but I will later this month. But what a lot of people don't realize about the backing is you may back me today, but it's not going to get charged to you until we're sure that we make it. If it's $6,500 and we only make $64.99, zip, nada, I don't get a penny, and you don't get charged. So, but it runs from $1, gets you a thank you, to you can get the audiobook, you can get the paperback, you can get sessions with me. If you really want to go, you know, full goose bozo, then you can have me come out and do a psychic party at your house or do a workshop for 20 at your workplace. I mean, we have it all over the map. But the thing that makes us a little bit different than the other stuff on there, a lot of the Kickstarter projects, they spend lots and lots of times telling you why you got to have this and you got to have this and you got to have this. We're more metaphysical. So one of the things that I point out is if you back this, you make this information accessible to people who need it.
Right.
You make a difference in the world. And a lot of people are saying, well, that's not going to sell it. Well, it may not sell it to people who are laser brain on, I just want what I want for me. But for people, the people that are listening, people like you and me who know that it's important to put our energy out in the world, reach out, touch other people, help other people so all boats rise, those are the ones that I really, really do want as backers, because right, they are helping me the magic.
Right. And most of the people that would show up for this also realize that if they help you, it's more likely that when they need it, they'll get help. What goes around comes around. So, it's a wonderful way to do it. The crowdsourcing is so confusing because there are so many models. And so it was very helpful for you to explain how this one works, because I didn't understand it.
And, you know, I put $7,000 into publishing my book because I had a great editor. Her name is Bernie Jung, X-I-O-N-G. Anybody out there wants to write your book, want to find an editor who is just fabulous and won't change your voice, BernieJung.com. Worked with the Troy Bookmakers. Again, they're local. They wonderful quality. You look at my paperback, you think it was done by a major publisher. It looks right on any bookshelf, including Barnes & Noble. But it costs. Why did I do it that way? Because, God, I wanted this book out. And now, because we are on the great literary agent hunt, they can see that I know how to do a book from start to finish, and I'm reliable. It's not an unraced horse, if you will.
Right.
So it's so different publishing a book today than it used to be 30 years ago. Nothing goes over the transom. If nobody knows what over the transom means, it's one of our old sayings. Think about the 1940s. That used to be these big doors in these pre-war buildings. And there was always, to get some air in, since people didn't have air conditioning, there was a window you could tilt at the top of the door. That was your transom. So the idea of getting a book manuscript over the transom would literally, you'd lob it in there, hoping it landed on somebody's desk. You can't do that anymore. Most really good publishing houses won't touch you without a literary agent. So, boy, oh boy, oh boy, it's a jungle, and you'd better have a machete, not a butter knife, because you ain't getting anywhere otherwise.
Well, thank you for doing all that work, because I will be picking your brain. So.
Not a problem, darling, anytime.
Yeah, there's a talk I've done for, I don't know, 15 years now, which is everything you know about ghosts dead wrong?
So I've been, get it out there.
So I've been writing about it and all the rest of it. And my favorite story about you got to write this book is my best friend, who I've known for over 50 years, was in a bookstore. And he called me from the section about paranormal stuff and said, you got to write the book because there isn't a decent book about ghosts here at all. They don't know what they're talking about. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Most of them don't. If you do, yeah, you need that out there. Big time.
Yeah. Have to shift. You know, this is a transition for me. My daughter's off at college one more year. But, you know, I'm an empty nester. I'm like, what do I do with the third half of my life? So have not made the shift to being focused and actually getting the books written.
Well, it's a funny thing. You know, we women, all the Wiccan and pagans out there, they know there are three parts to life for women: maiden, mother, crone. And, you know, once it's menopausal, once the kids are out, you're crone. You're the elder. You need to pass on that information. So, you know, we have menopause. Maybe you guys have manopause. I don't know. But you're crone age, babe. You're an elder statesman. And now is the time to get that information out there so it doesn't get lost.
Right.
As long as there is a remnant of the world we know, get that book written and get it published.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
So glad you're listening to me, darling.
Yeah, I'm not so good at that. But I'm kicking myself as much as other people are kicking me. So it will start. There's actually three books, and two of them are pretty straightforward. The third one. Yeah. One is the ghost book. One of them is collecting all the many essays that I wrote for the magichappens.com online magazine for almost 10 years and rewriting them slightly, but there are all those essays about all kinds of things. And it's where I came up with the model that became the metaphysical musing, because it's the same kind of structure in an essay. And so there's that piece. And then it's, you know, people always ask me for my life story, which is a mini series and has lots of fascinating stories of the adventures when I was doing my apprenticeship on Walkabout, and some of the other things that otherwise most people would not hear, but, you know, life's an adventure anyway. And one of the things is, if I start listing all the things that I did, especially when I was younger, everybody goes, what? How could you possibly do it? You know, yeah, well, I did some of them at the same time. And yeah, but yeah, I've done a lot of different crazy stuff and learned weird things. So
What's the earliest weird thing that you did?
Well, the starting point of the Walkabout is also when I was 9 years old, and my cousin from California came, and we went out to the schoolyard in Brooklyn, which is, you know, just asphalt and chain link fence. And we were running around and he fell down and skinned his knee. And there was a deep part of me that knew I was supposed to know what to do about it. And I didn't know. And I was pissed. I was not doing what I was here to do. I needed to learn this. And I started learning first aid. And that led to being in the Boy Scouts and getting all the Red Cross certifications and being an instructor and getting on a rescue squad and being an EMT and, you know, long adventure there before I even got to the part of doing the healing stuff. But I knew I was supposed to be a healer, and there was stuff I needed to learn about healing the physical body before I ever got to the other piece of it. And it started when I was 9.
There you go. That's one of the first stories that goes into the book.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah.
And, I interrupted with a question. Hit me, babe.
No, I was asking a question.
You were, and I immediately said, tell me when you first started, and I totally took you off into the ditch. So, whatever it was you wanted to talk about, go right ahead.
I don't remember. That's just how it is.
Was it? Anyway.
Well, so the book is out already, right? The book's been out for a while.
The book is out. It came out January 31st. And all of the reviews have been wonderful. They tell me that I'm getting through to people, that the book is doing what it was meant to do. And everyone says there is nothing else like that out there. Yay, baby. That's what we're looking for.
Excellent. So people can get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the usual places.
They can get it on Amazon. Yep. And they can even, get it on Kindle, at least until the grid goes down. The audio book, like I say, right now it's completely recorded. We have to do some dinking with it. The audio book should be out no later than September 1st. And that'll be a download, again, probably from Audible. I think that's how we do it.
Right.
And that way people can take me with them when they're, taking the BQE and they're stuck on the road, or they've got their 2-hour commute from Trenton to Manhattan, or they're stuck on the Orange Crush in L.A., whatever you're doing. And I'll make them laugh while they're sitting there watching the cars not move.
Yeah, that's such a good thing. I was in a traffic jam for the first time in ages the other day. There was construction on the local interstate here, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. I've avoided this all these years, and around the corner from my house I get into this.
One of the reasons I like living rural, what's
right.
What's
well, I'm living rural too. I'm living in a very.
You at least live in a part of New England that has brains. So.
That's true. And interstates.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
Funny, I always call the Mass Pike the James Taylor Memorial Interstate because of all the songs.
And people who know James Taylor's music may get that.
Sure.
Sorry. So, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, raise your hands out there if you know what the BQE is, because that's a very New York. The Brooklyn Queens The Brooklyn BQE Queens Expressway.
And the LIE is the Long Island Expressway. And if you're from Philly, the Schuylkill Expressway is known as the Schuylkill Crawlway. These are all East Coast things that we know. There's the old joke, how do you know if somebody's from Jersey? Because when you ask them what exit, they know what you're talking about. How do you know if they're really from Jersey? They look at you and they say Garden State Parkway or Jersey Turnpike. And you know they're really.
Exactly. Yes.
So, and that
because what else is there in New Jersey anyway, right?
Well, and that thing, sand and sea, is never the beach; it's the shore. Jersey Shore,
absolutely.
No, we are being old, reminiscing farts. Oh well, sorry guys. So, what do I need to do to wrap this up in a big bow for all your listeners?
Well, first, let's give the name of the book again.
Clean Out Your Life Closet.
By Corby Mitlide. You can get it everywhere that you get books. So just look for it and check it out or go to her website where you can. There's that sample snippet of it, right?
You can get CorbyMidline.com, or you can just type in cleanoutyourlifecloset.com. Takes you right to the page.
Very cool. And if you don't know Corby from back in the day, you have figured out that she's really smart and really funny, and the book is great. So, you know, if you're looking for a book to sort some stuff out, it's the one. She does great stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
remember, listeners, you and I write that book together. It will not be complete unless you do those adventure pages and the invention page with me and make it your own.
Which is such a clever way of doing it. It's a very cool way of doing it. So before we go, do you have any stuff coming up that people should know about?
Other than the Kickstarter, the next events I'm going to be doing is in August down in York, PA. In September, there are fairs in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and Kitchener, Ontario, for all the Canadian people. But most of the things I'm doing now are at home. And, you know, you got Skype, you got a phone, you can reach me.
Right.
So do it. Let's play in the metaphysics together. Let's find out how to make your life take off like a rocket. Because I am more than willing to go play in the sandbox with you and show you how you know what you need to do. And you're fabulous. And I'm just kind of the cheerleader there for you.
And what a cheerleader. But no pom-poms were killed or maimed in the course of this cheer.
That's right. Right. No, the only pom-poms I have are three very fat, fluffy Maine Coons. And trying to shake them around, I get clawed. Not happening.
Well, this has been so much fun, Corby. Thanks for doing this.
It's been a pleasure.
We haven't hung out in a while. So my guest tonight is Corby Mitlide, and as you can tell, she's funny and she's smart and she knows all kinds of stuff. And she wrote a cool book, and go find out about it. So, Corby, thank you so much for being here.
Welcome, darling man. It was good to be back at Empower.
Thank you. And if anybody got curious about who is David and what in the world does he do? You can go to househealing.com. And there's all kinds of technology for getting in touch with me, including a scheduling gizmo that lets you make a 20-minute free phone consultation appointment. And we can assess what's going on with a person, place, situation, business, whatever it might be, and see how my work might be helpful to you. If you want to know more about the show, it's hiding in plain view at thefarkasfiles.com. And the archive of all the shows for the last 6+ years, can you believe it? Hundreds and hundreds of shows are there. But the easiest way to listen now is the Empower Radio app, which comes in both smartphone flavors. And that lets you choose any of the shows. And Empower Radio has stuff 24/7. Very cool stuff all day. But you can pick up any of those shows, click on the link. It opens up the archive for all the shows for that program, and you can listen anywhere at your convenience. We're also on every streaming media outlet, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes podcast. So you can just plug in Empower Radio or Farkas Files or whichever you're looking for. Get access that way. And that's one of the cool things that happened in the last few years. It's so much easier for you to listen whenever it works for you. And that makes it so much easier. And we can make it much easier for you. And we've made it very easy to spend an entire hour again. So thank you all for being with us. Otherwise, this would be a really silly thing to do by myself. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here. somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.